and the Growing in the Game podcast, brought to you by our friends at Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. We're joined now by our friend Dylan Grondon of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. How are you, Dylan?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Okay, so how's that knee? That was an injury that cut your season, unfortunately, short last year. How's the recovery been this offseason?
About 7.5 months out of surgery. Couldn't possibly be doing better right now. I had a checkup with my surgeon a month ago, and so far so good. I got the okay to play without a brace, so that's pretty good news. I pretty much spent this whole off season rehabbing and just doing everything possible and on my end to get my knee healthy, and it's paid off. So
what's that rehab entail, Dylan?
There's a lot to it. So you have your physio, so you got to go in and do your little exercises. So the first few months of rehab, you got to go in and do all your rehab exercises and make sure you get your range of motion back in your knee. Mm-hmm. But that's just a small part of it. I've been seeing my massage therapist, Curtis Taylor, twice a week. That's been a huge part of my rehab, just breaking up the scar tissue in the knee and just making sure everything, keeping the inflammation out. Mm-hmm. Icing the knee twice a day. I joined a local track team in the off-season, Excel Track and Field, just to get my running stride back to normal. And then on top of that, strength training. So it's pretty much a full-time job trying to get your knee back to normal. It's a grind, and it's not an easy process, but if you work hard at it and be consistent with it, it's definitely doable. So.
You know, a lot of people talk about, okay, CFL, I joke, cash flow low, especially for a Canadian linebacker, backup linebacker, special teamer. You're not making the most during the season, and so you're just trying to get by at times. And people say, well, go get a job. But it sounds like you can't get a job, especially when you're trying to rehab there, my friend.
Well, it's funny because last off season I worked a little bit of electrical. I worked 40-hour weeks, and then I would train for 4 hours a day on top of that, and it was manageable, but I think it tired me out a little bit. So I took a different approach this off season. I definitely had some money saved, and I set a budget, and I pretty much told myself I either need to give this rehab process 110% or nothing, because had I gone back to work and worked, 40 hours a week, I probably wouldn't be where I am today in the rehab process. So I had to make the conscious decision of deciding not to work this off season. And my whole entire day from the time I get up until the time I go to bed is pretty much based around getting my knee right and getting back to playing health. So.
Okay, so you stuck to a strict budget, okay? And I'm not trying to get in your kitchen. I mean, some of it you want to maybe keep personal, but Like I said, you're not making a ton of money, right? Playing in the CFL. So if you didn't have an off-season job, like how did you we all budget. What'd you do? Like you're not making a lot of cash. How'd you budget, man? You didn't go out that much or what?
I don't go out barely ever as it is, but I mean, we made it decently far through the playoffs, so I had a decent amount of money saved, yeah. and I had savings before that as well.
Yeah.
I was trying to have a backup plan and money saved just in case of any emergency.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't living on Kraft dinner and hot dogs or anything like that, but I still treat my body. All my money is invested into my body. Still eat really healthy. When I do spend money, it's I'm spending it on therapy. We get a certain amount of massage and chiropractor paid by the league. Mm-hmm. But anything extra is coming out of my own pocket. And you know, people say that, like, you know, football players, CFL players don't make a ton of money. Well, most CFL players are making more than the average human being at my age. And that's at minimum salary. Like, yeah. let's say you spend, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the league, you're gonna end up getting paid a lot more money, especially being a valuable Canadian in the CFL.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
When it comes down to it, for me, it's not really about the money. I love the game of football. I have a backup plan. I went to school, so I'm just playing football for the love of the game, and it's really not about the money to me. So
okay, so we'll talk about your backup plan and your love of football, but I want to talk about something else I picked up on. Okay,
yeah.
You sound like a fiscally responsible guy. Who taught you your money mechanics, so to speak? Who got you on the right track that way?
I grew up in a family of 7 kids. My mom raised 7 kids pretty much on her own. So I didn't have much growing up, so we had to make the most of what we had. And she just taught us really good life skills. Hats off to my mom for teaching me all these good life skills, to cook and just take care of myself and to manage my money properly. Okay. I don't know where I'd be without her.
Okay, so two questions for you then. First off, what was the best Christmas gift you ever received?
The best Christmas gift I've ever received.
You know, I just thought of it. You're in a house of 7. You don't have a lot. What some people might consider a great Christmas gift, another person might consider meager. But what did young Dylan Grondin like growing up that he got for Christmas gift?
The best Christmas gift growing up was probably an N64 when I was younger. That was me and my siblings were pretty ecstatic about that.
Okay, cool. Okay, so and now it's Mother's Day right around the corner. You just said mom's a big deal in your life.
Yeah.
What's the best thing you've given your mom for Mother's Day?
Years back, actually a couple years ago, me and my siblings, because my mom never, she's always been giving her whole entire life, and she hasn't been able to travel. So we bought her and my stepdad a trip.
Oh, excellent. Where'd they go?
They went to Aruba.
Oh, awesome, man. Has your mom watched you play here in Saskatchewan?
She has not been here to Saskatchewan yet, but anytime I play, I go east to play, like Montreal or Toronto. My whole family usually comes down and watches.
Yeah.
Most of my siblings usually.
Yeah.
But they know they haven't been down here yet, and I've been bugging them to come down here because no atmosphere really compares to the atmosphere here.
Yeah. What did you think when you got here, buddy? You're from down east, Windsor, AKO Fratman. You come out here. What's it like?
the first time I ever ran out of that tunnel in the preseason, I was just in awe. Like I honestly couldn't believe it. I heard a lot of things about football in Saskatchewan, and I heard the Riders like had a big culture in football, but I never really expected that, to be quite honest with you. And I couldn't be more fortunate to play for a better organization.
Let me talk to you, Dylan Grondin, joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want a perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair, like Dylan's knee, hopefully. Let's talk about that knee on the mental side of things. You know, you're a professional football player. You do have a backup plan. We'll get to that in a second. But has that made you think about your football mortality?
Not really. Like, I see it as a bump in the road. I pretty much defied all odds getting here in the first place. I was an undrafted free agent, pretty much completely off the radar on any team's radars in this league. And I sent my highlight tape to the Riders, and somehow it got to Coach Jones. And I was lucky enough to get a shot at mini camp a couple of years ago, and then 2 years later, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Any knee injury, any setback is not going to stop me from continuing this journey.
We're trying to grow this game here in Saskatchewan, Dylan, and I'll get you to give some advice a little later on to the young people that might be listening to this. But what do you love about football?
What I love about football. I love that it's a team sport. I love all the friends and relationships that you make, and traveling across Canada to play, to do something that you love is pretty amazing. And honestly, playing the sport itself, football, is great, but it's what you carry on from football that's going to stick with you for the rest of your life, with all the friendships that you make and all the really good memories and the life skills that football teaches you. Football prepares you for the real world when you're done, because it teaches you to be on time. It teaches you to hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. It teaches you to wake up at a super early time every day and get stuff done. So
you really get that eat the frog mentality, don't you? By that I mean you eat a frog first thing in the morning and everything after that pales in comparison, right? So do the hard stuff first. I like that mentality for sure. Okay,
early bird gets the worm.
That's right. Who's your best friend on the team?
Probably Spencer Moore. There's not too many guys that stick here in the off season. Spencer's he's from Ontario. He's also an Ontario boy, and him and I both reside here in the off season. So we've been training a lot, and I'd say he's probably the best friend that I've came across since I've gone here.
You've had a scratch and claw to get here, and it's a great story. That's what a special teamer is. He's a scratcher. He's a clawer. Just talk about being the life of a special teamer.
The life of a special teamer. Special teams is a very underrated position. We take a beating on our bodies just running down, back and forth downfield. It's a very physically demanding position. And special teams is very important in the CFL because there's only three downs. Yeah. So I do think special teams is underappreciated a little bit. And but yeah.
What's the worst injury you had in terms of, or what's take us behind the scenes? You know, you're running down. So tell us what you do on special teams. What's your position on some of the special teams? And pick one. What do you do on one special team? And what do you do on that? What's that position called for?
Okay, so I'll describe a punt cover team.
Okay.
So on punt cover, your job initially is to protect the punter. Protect the ball from being blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our first goal is to get the ball off and punt it downfield. So our first things first, you need to protect the punt and make sure the ball is punted.
Yep.
From then on there, you have a guy that's pretty much stuck on you like glue and is stopping you from running downfield and tackling the returner. So your next job is to run downfield and tackle the returner while you have a guy in your face the whole time.
Hand-to-hand. And you got to stay in your lane, too.
And you got to stay in your lane. Everybody has their lane. So, I mean, you've seen how electric these returners are in this league. So one guy doesn't stay in his lane, or one guy isn't doing his assignment right, you're going to see an explosion for a return touchdown.
It's really intricate too. If you take even two steps to the right or one step to the left, that could mean the difference between a tackle and a 60-yard return.
Yeah, and honestly, you don't have the time to even think about tackling the guy. It happens in a split second. You see the returner like 5 yards away from you. Next thing you know, you're on the ground. Like it's that quick.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you said you had a backup plan. If Dylan Grondin wasn't playing football, or when he's done playing football, what's the backup plan?
So I have a French degree. There's a couple different things that I want to explore. I wanted to be a French teacher for years now. So being a French teacher and coaching football would be probably my number one plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't mind being a personal trainer and being able to train younger athletes and give them what I didn't have growing up to like methods of training. And I just didn't have somewhere to go to be trained when I was younger. I pretty much started training when I was in high school. But if we start training athletes at a younger age and teaching them good morals and just good skills, I think they'll be well off when they get into the later stages of their career. So
All right, so on that note, our last question for Dylan Gronin here in the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy. You're a young guy, Ontario kid. You play for the Windsor AKO Fratman in the junior ranks, and you send a tape to Chris Jones, and now you're with the Riders. You're overcoming a knee injury. You've made that round of cuts before training camp, so you know you're going to camp. What's a message you have for a young guy that's listening, or girl that's listening to this podcast, really interested in football? Maybe they're down in their luck right now, or they're just getting into the sport. What kind of message do you have for them?
Honestly, do what you love and never give up on your dreams. Failure. A lot of people are scared of failing in life, and you can't possibly grow without failure. So the only way to grow in life is by failing time after time after time. I remember my first failure in football was my first year of university. I got cut from the University of Windsor football team. Mm-hmm. And defying all odds, like 6 years later, I'm now in the CFL. So anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Anything.
That's a good message too, Dylan, as we have the CFL draft on us right now, as we speak right now. And for guys that don't get drafted, it's not the end of the line. You can still be an undrafted guy, like you said, that can find his way into a roster.
Absolutely. Getting drafted is I'm sure it's great and all, but it's not the end all be all. I'm a prime example of a guy that took a different path here. And, for anybody who doesn't get drafted, don't hang your head on it. Just continue moving forward and continue working hard, because it's really not the end of the world if you don't get drafted. So it's even guys that get drafted, that doesn't secure your spot on the football team. Mm-hmm. That's the first step, obviously. But that would be my advice to any kid out there. Hard work beats talent. If you have a strong work ethic and you stay consistent with it, you can achieve anything you want. So
that's awesome, man. I'll tell you what, I've been doing this podcast for half a year, and this is one of the better interviews I've had, and not from my standpoint, but from the guest standpoint. Thanks for this, Dylan.
I appreciate it.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an O and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. And I'm joined on the phone by Atlee Simon of the University of Regina Rams, and hopefully in the future of the Calgary Stampeders, as he was taken in the sixth round of this year's Canadian College Football Draft. How are you, Atlee?
I'm doing great. Great. Yeah.
Isn't
Thanks
that,
for having me on.
Isn't that neat? Tell me about the phone call and how it all shook down.
Yeah, I know. Getting a little nerve-wracking, moving around. I'm actually in Ontario right now, so it was getting pretty late. It was around 11 o'clock, and getting a little anxious, but when I saw my name pop up on the screen, on my computer screen, and then getting the call from Calgary, it was a pretty cool feeling. It was a dream come true, and on top of that, Mark Mueller was the guy that called me, so it's a cool little moment for me to get a call from a guy that I looked up to as a kid, and now I know it was a dream come true.
Yeah, Regina Ram tie in there. Mark Mueller, former coach with the quarterback with the University of Regina Rams, and of course Atlee Simon with the Rams. Yeah, so how did you spend the day? Were you looking? Were you off and on looking? Just looking at your phone quite a bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually in Guelph right now for an Athletes in Action conference. I'm interning here, so. I was pretty busy with the conference for the most part throughout the day, but I definitely once the draft started around 8 o'clock that night, I was on my computers for the whole night, just waiting for my name to be called, and it was a long wait, but it was definitely worth it.
How excited is your dad? How excited is the family?
My mom's really excited for me. She's a little sad that I'm leaving home, but. She couldn't be more happy for me. And my dad, I think he's just recovering from having a couple heart attacks waiting throughout the night. So I haven't talked too much with him. Planning to have a big conversation with him today. But No, my whole family's definitely excited.
So have the Stampeders told you what they expect from you coming to training camp and all that type of thing? What's their plans for you?
Yeah, I'm planning to have a conversation today. They're going to be calling me. Like I said, it was a pretty late night last night, and they still had a couple more picks after they picked me. So wasn't able to have too big of a conversation. But from what I know, they want me to play some running back and to play some special teams. So that's going to be how I'm going to be able to make a team, and I'm more than prepared to do that.
Atlee, for some of the young people listening that aspire to be Atlee Simon now, how did you get your start in football?
No, I started in RMF way back when I was 9 years old. My dad almost kind of forced me to play just because he was such a big football guy. And, you know, I fell in love with it ever since I was my first year. And I just kind of kept going with it. And, you know, it was the relationships that I made throughout those years with the people and the coaches that kind of kept me going. And, you know, looking back on it now, I'm super grateful for all those people and the opportunities this game's given me.
So your dad's been a big influence, as I can tell, and obviously your mom's probably washed your gym clothes and stuff, so she's had a big influence. But outside of your family unit, who's been a big influence in your football career? You mentioned some, you know, you wanted to mention some people there. You mentioned, hey, there's been people that have helped me. Maybe mention a couple of the names. Who've been the big influences in your life?
You know, definitely in my college career, Dwayne Mason. He's been my running backs coach since my rookie year, and he's been a huge influence. We get along really well. We have very similar personalities, and he's believed in me from day one, and he just encouraged me to be not only the best football player I could be, but the best person. So him and outside of the football community, you know, I've had a lot of good mentors, my spiritual mentors, my just life mentors that have not only helped me become a great athlete, but become just a great person. And I think I value character over anything, and I don't think I would have been able to get to this point in my athletic career without those people building into my life. So
excellent. Atlee Simon joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. Who did you want to emulate growing up? Like, which athlete did you want to be? Was there a football superstar that is Atlee Simon aspired to be?
You know, I kind of bounced all around. I grew up a huge basketball fan. I grew up a huge Vince Carter fan when I was younger. And then once I kind of started watching a little more football, I remember watching Kenton Keith when I was younger on the Riders. And then I moved to watching Corey Sheets and then now Andrew Harris in the CFL and even Le'Veon Bell, just all those kind of great running backs in both the Canadian and the NFL. So those types of guys that I look up to as great athletes, and a guy like Steph Curry, I think, in the NBA, and even a guy like Carson Wentz in the NFL, guys that have great character and have great faith. Those are the type of guys that I want to emulate as a professional.
I want to get to athletes in action in a second, but I believe your brother's a football player and a pretty good one at that. I think I saw a TV story where you go to watch him. How tight are you and your brother? And he looks like he might be the next coming Simon to make a name for himself.
Yeah, no, keep watch for him coming up. That's all I got to say. He's going to be a great athlete, not just in football, but you got to see the kid play some basketball as well.
Yeah, how tight are you guys?
We're best friends. You know, there's a pretty big age gap. There's 8 years, but the kid's way mature beyond his years, and he's getting older now, so we can connect a little better. And he's my biggest fan, and I'm his biggest fan. So we just definitely have a great bond.
Okay, so tell me, and what's cool too, before I get to athletes in action, there's a bond over sports, and this is about the sport of football. There's a bond over football, which I think is kind of neat too.
Say that again.
I said this podcast is about growing the game of football, and I think you got what's neat about your relationship with your brother. There's a bond over sports, but more specifically football, where you guys have kind of bonded over the sport of football and can probably share, you know, things back and forth, and you can impart some wisdom on him.
No, absolutely. The fact that I've kind of gone through both the basketball side of things and the football side of things, you know, I'm just trying to make sure that he takes the right path and makes the right decisions. He can learn from my mistakes that I've made throughout the years. And, you know, I just trying to be the best big brother I can be. You know, I can tell him how to running the proper route. I can tell them how to make a proper jump shot. But in the end, if I'm not being a good role model off the field, I'm not doing my job. So there's a lot more things to sports. But sport has given us a great way to bond and create such a strong relationship.
Adley, talk about staying on the straight and narrow, because there's a lot of distractions as an athlete coming up, and you might even experience more of them. You will if you're a professional athlete. How do you keep your focus and keep on the straight and narrow? I know you talked about athletes in action. That probably helps. But how do you keep on the straight and narrow, maybe preach your brother to go that way? Because there are a lot of distractions, a lot of social pressures, even more so now with social media and such.
No, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is our faith. You know, our family has taught us from a young age that the most important thing is our relationship with God. And I've been fortunate enough to have people, like I've said in the past, implant and invest in my life to make sure I'm making the right choices, and not only guide me, but let me make mistakes and learn from them and be able to grow from those. So, life, you're going to be making mistakes in life a lot, but I think the biggest thing is that I have a strong foundation in my faith and a good morality and a good habits in my life that are going to set me up well for the next level and the temptations and the media and everything that's going to follow with it.
Okay, Atlee, lastly, tell us about Athletes in Action, what you're doing there, and what's it mean to be in an internship, and just tell us about the program in general.
Yeah, you know, Athletes in Action is a ministry across Canada and the world that just helps athletes in general how to integrate their faith with their sport. And a lot of the times we like to separate our faith from our sport, because sometimes we become different people when we step on the field or step on the court or whatever it may be. And I'm at a conference or a camp called National Training Camp. We're just about to start it, actually, in about half an hour here. And they get to embark on a 24-hour journey of how to implement all the things that we learned throughout the week. And I actually participated as an athlete a couple of years ago, and it impacted me so greatly that I decided to come back this year and intern and help facilitate and lead some of the other students in how to do that. And it's been a great week so far. I've been here since last Friday, so I've been here for a week, and I've definitely grown and learned a lot.
Atlee Simon, sixth-round pick of the Calgary Stampeders, outstanding running back with the University of Regina Rams. And I guess we should talk Rams before I let you go here. If things don't work out with the Stamps here in training camp, you still got a year to come back and wrap up your Rams career on a high note. So I'm sure guys like you and Noah Pickton will be looking to do that.
No, absolutely. You know, to be able to remember I still have another year left and have an opportunity to come back and finish up a little more school and try to help the Rams reach Vanier Cup is the end goal, right? I'm not done my university career, and if I'm able to go out on a high note like that, definitely would be a dream come true.
You know, I have to say, I'm pretty disappointed in myself, Atlee, because I've known you for a while. I've known your dad for a while. We talk after every game, and I've talked to you a couple times briefly for the radio purposes, to kind of just chat about the game and what you got to do against this team. But I've never actually sat down and had an extended conversation with you. You're a bright guy and a really good guy in the sport, so thanks for taking time and talking to me.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for the call.
This is the Growing the Game podcast, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Joined by U of S Huskies quarterback Mason Nias. Mason, before we get to the most immediate news, let's rewind back to the CFL week where you guys won the passing showcase for the second straight year. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good experience. CFL puts on a really fun tournament there, 7-on-7 stuff, and yeah, we went out there and tried our best. It's just, you know, you're out there to develop and have fun with some young guys, but ultimately, whenever you step on the field, you want to go win and be accomplished that.
Yeah, you ripped it around the field again. I heard your coach had some high praise in this podcast for you. How do you like working with Scott Flory and I guess more specifically, Marcus Crandall?
Yeah, obviously, they're both super knowledgeable guys about the game. They both had great CFL careers. yeah, they're a big help for me. They're both offensive guys, obviously, and they both have similar opinions on some things in the offense and differ in other things. So therefore, it creates good talk in the room. And it makes me and Kyle better, both like on the field and off the field, for leadership and offensive qualities.
Kyle, a former Regina Thunder quarterback. I know we talked about him at the Thunder dinner here just recently that I emceed. What's your relationship like with Kyle? Because as Scott Flory said in one of our podcasts, he knows you're nipping at Kyle's heels. You're eager to play, but do you still have a pretty good working relationship between the two of you guys?
Oh, yeah. Kyle was over at my house the other night. We were just hanging out. Kyle's an awesome guy. He's a great friend, a great teammate. Can't ask much more out of a mentor for a quarterback. Yeah, he's really fun to work with.
What's your best attribute, Mason?
I would say just 3-and-D defenses. My knowledge of defenses. I study a lot of film, and I put in a lot of work just studying film, working on, just constantly just this is what's going to be, reading free safeties. I'd say just my knowledge of the game and knowledge of defense is my best attribute.
I brought this up last podcast here in Growing the Game with Ballsy. Video games, how much they've helped young kids. How much has the Madden video game and those kind of video games helped you with your football IQ as you grew up?
I'm not too sure, honestly. I know when I play Madden, lots of my friends get mad at me. I use about 4 plays in the same formation, just hurry-up offense. So, yeah, I don't know. If you know what you're doing out there in defenses, I guess it can translate a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Mason, you got some big news this week. You're going to training camp in Saskatoon with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Who called you? How did that shake down? How'd you find out?
My coach, Scott Flory, called me and let me know there's an opportunity for me and let me know the details. And I said, yeah, I'd love to go. And then I got contacted by the Riders and ironed out the details. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Can you tell us some of those details? What are they expecting? Just, I know you're going to be a camp arm, but you're going to have a chance to soak in the atmosphere and learn from some veteran guys like Kolaros and Brandon Bridge, who obviously is trying to wave that Canadian flag at the quarterback position.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be super cool being in the same meeting rooms with those guys and on the field and working through drills. Ultimately, I'm just looking to be a sponge in the quarterback room. Just want to gain as much knowledge as I can from those guys and bring it back to the U of S, hopefully learn some things, implement some things. I'm just trying to be a sponge, really.
I know it's early in the process, but do you let your mind wander a little bit? You're still a young guy. Man, wouldn't it be cool to actually put on the green and white jersey for real and play at Mosaic Stadium as a member of the Rough Riders?
Oh, yeah, that's obviously a dream for all young Canadian quarterbacks. That'd be surreal. But right now, I'm just focused on winning the championship for U of S, so that's the number one goal. And then hopefully in the future, if the stars align, that'd be awesome.
Mason Nyes, last question for you here on the Growing the Game podcast. What do you need to work on this year as you go into your second real season of playing football here for the U of S Huskies?
I'm hoping to get bigger, stronger, faster. I've been working a lot in the weight room with Joel Pinsky, our strength coach, who's been a huge help for everyone on our team. So I'm looking to get bigger, stronger, faster, and it should be a good year.
All right, that's Mason Nyes, the Growing the Game podcast. We'll watch for him at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders training camp coming up here in May. The Huskies also have their big dinner, or breakfast, pardon me, the Husky breakfast, where they introduce, I think, about 43 recruits, and Tony Mandarich is going to be their guest speaking as well. And I'll tell you what, Mason Nyes's arm will not be lost in training camp. He is definitely going to fit in there nicely. Thanks for this, Mason.
Thanks for having me, Baldy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an OO and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Go see the gang over there at 2337th Avenue in Regina. Allen Mann, Joe Cardiff, they do great work in the auto body industry. One guy doing great work in Saskatoon with Saskatoon Minor Football is former Husky and CFLer Brian Giebert. How do we find you today, Brian?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day up here in Saskatoon.
Yeah, spring has finally sprung, and we're not talking baseball. We're talking football, and spring football is back in Saskatoon. Now, just to refresh my memory, is it how many years has spring football been back in Saskatoon?
Well, this is our sixth year of our SMF Academy.
Yeah.
So a little different approach up here in Saskatoon. We focus a lot on individual skill development, and this is the first year we've actually added a game component to it. So we got a draft taking place tomorrow night, and we're super excited about it.
Are you doing the same thing as the RMF in terms of games? Are you doing a four-week schedule, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's going to be a four-week schedule culminating on June 6th up here.
So tell us about, for those of us not in Saskatoon and not familiar with what you do up there at Saskatoon Minor Football, what was the academy portion like? Like, what was it like before? What is it like now?
So, you know, we have four coaches per position working with the kids, so lots of one-on-one instruction. We have kids from, you know, in that U16 age category, so some grade 8s all the way to grade 11s. And, you know, we're just trying to make these guys better so that we raise the level of football in the fall that much more, and they can take some of the skills and leadership that they've learned here. And then the other thing we've done is an off-the-field component. In fact, last week, Coach Brian Towers came and spoke to the 245 kids in our academy, and he spoke to them about leadership and what it takes to be a great leader and, you know, hold yourself above the standard of behavior. And you know, I'm really looking forward to see how these kids mature and really take that message home as well.
I really like the fact that a guy like Brian Towers is back in the game of football, even in a speech role, and guys like Frank McChrystal and Bernie Schmidt. I talked to Frank last week in this podcast, and he's back helping with Bernie Schmidt, helping Frank's son Charlie coach in the Spring Football League up here. It's nice to see these legends, and in Brian's case, a Hall of Famer, give back to the community.
Yeah, you know, we're so fortunate to have such well-respected coaches giving back to the community. And, yeah, it doesn't take much for BT to be hanging around a football field.
Yeah, you got that right. And I'll tell you what, the facilities up there are changing, getting better. Is that indicative of what's going on in Saskatoon in terms of popularity and interest in the sport? How are the numbers there?
Yeah, you know what, our numbers are real strong. You know, our six-a-side spring league is a little bit lower this year, but our academy is that much bigger, so we're probably just seeing a little bit of an adjustment there. We have 400 girls playing in our high school girls spring league this year. We're about 1,100 in flag football, just over 400 in six-a-side football. And then we have a Tykes on Spikes program for 3 to 6-year-olds that we have 170 kids in. So lots of fun stuff happening this spring here in Saskatoon.
Brian Giebert with Saskatoon Minor Football joining us. Tell me about that the girls football component there. What's that all about, the spring league?
Yeah, well, they had this is, I think, their fourth or fifth year. They've grown year after year exponentially, it seems. We're over 400 this year. It's just girls from their high school. So some high schools actually have 3 or 4 teams that come out. We have a junior division, grade 9s and 10s, senior division, grade 11s and 12s. And they had their first games just last night at SMF Field. And man, I tell you what, the quality of female football here in Saskatoon is amazing. These girls can really air it out, and they have a lot of fun doing it, too.
I think we got to give a lot of credit to the Valkyries and the Regina Riots of the world for really, you know, spurring on that interest.
Absolutely. In fact, the female participation numbers in SMF this spring are higher than they've ever been, including in our tackle programs. We have 3 girls that are in our academy as well.
Why do you think football is attractive to women?
I think it's the same reason it's attractive to everybody. It fits all shapes and sizes. It's the ultimate team game. You know, you can find a spot, like, you know, football, we've got a spot for you, right? It doesn't matter how big, how small, what gender you are, anything like that. You know what? If you want to strap the pads on and go hit somebody, we can find a spot for you on a football field.
Well, you're very knowledgeable in Saskatchewan football. So give me some of the names, be it girls, be it guys. Give me some of the names we can watch here in Saskatoon in the Spring League and, you know, surrounding area as we head into U16, U18 and the seasons.
You know, I think some of the grade 12s that are really standing out in the academy right now are Blade Wiggins, a receiver, about 6'2" receiver out of Evan Hardy. He's just a smooth athlete, high points the ball really well. A couple nice looking kids out of Clavette. Colby Joyce, who has to be about 6'6" or 6'7", offensive tackle. Just a real good athlete, continues to work on his footwork and getting better. And then a small explosive receiver, Hunter Schwann, is really impressive too. So Clavette's got a nice stable of athletes just outside of Saskatoon here. Ramsey Derbis, a linebacker out of Holy Cross, is looking really nice. He just joined us a little late this year to the academy, but it's good to see Ramsey back. Adam Sumacull, a DB out of St. Joe's. You know, those are some of the seniors. But then I'll tell you what, these kids currently in grade 10 going into grade 11 in the fall, like, we are rich at linebacker right now. Seth Hundeby out of Holy Cross, Noah Getter out of Holy Cross, David Altragi out of Aiden Bowman. There is a ton of linebackers that are really good, and I'm really excited for this grade 10 group of players. They're really maturing quickly and making an impact on the high school football scene.
Well, you know very well, though, that nothing works unless you have a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback. What's the quarterbacking talent like up north?
You know what, there's quite a few kids. You know, both U16 quarterbacks from last year are really standing out right now. Bryce Welter out of Viscount, Saskatchewan. So, again, another small town just outside of here. He's really grown into a real good physical body now, and he continues to develop his game. And then Talawa Madassia out of Evan Hardy is just, you know, a nice dual-threat quarterback. And, again, he continues to mature, and you're seeing these guys kind of start to grow into their adult body, so that's pretty exciting to move on. I can't remember the kid's name, but there's a real tall kid out of Martinsville that throws a great ball as well. So you know, there's some quarterbacks up here that are definitely coming along, and you know, when they get to work with Brent Schneider and Drew Burko and Chad Palmer on a weekly basis, those are just some great mentors to have at the quarterback position.
Think it's easier to coach kids now or harder than when we played? I'm older than you, but you're older than the kids that are in the football ranks now. You think it's easier or harder to coach kids now? And by that I mean in terms of their football IQ. I've said this, and I've had a few people admit that it's probably true. I think video games have helped kids learn the game so that when they get to camp, when they get to these camps, they know more or less what you're talking about. Terminology might be different, but you know, it sure helps when you're playing video games to see what a playbook looks like, even if it's 11-man football in the case of Madden.
Yeah, you know, these kids are coming with definitely a higher football IQ. I mean, football's more available for them to watch. I think you hit the nail on the head there a little bit with what you said. It's getting them out. We got to get them out to the camps. We got to get them participating. You know, get them out to the Senior Bowl tryouts last weekend. I mean, football is a great game, but we just got to get these kids out. When they get there, they're fine. They're super respectful. They hustle around. They understand the expectations that are on them at a football field. But we just need to get more kids out, and I think football just teaches us so much that we can take into other aspects of life. We just need more people walking the hallways and just banging the drum for football to get these kids out and active.
Now is going to be my follow-up and last question. How do we get them out?
Yeah, you know, I just think is we got to just use every platform we can, and the number one thing is word of mouth. All the coaches we talk to in SMF, the number one priority up here is help kids fall in love with the game and get them to sign up next year is our number one priority. So anything we can do to make it a positive experience and keep things, you know, just continuing to develop and see that growth, I think that's the number one key to getting them out. So we got to just best equip our coaches with as many coaching resources as possible. We got to make sure that we maintain a positive attitude. You know, help these kids deal with challenges and adversity, because that's one of the great things the game teaches us. But, you know, just try and make it as good as an experience as possible, and hopefully they develop some great friends along the way.
I think you raise a very good point. I touched on this last week, too. I think the biggest job for a coach isn't the championships. We get wrapped up in all that BS of winners and losers, and I think even at the coaching level, we kind of get competitive juices. I'm guilty of it, and we want to win, but we, you know, sometimes lose sight of the fact that we're there to teach the kids the sport and get them to the next level. If you get a kid, say, going from the tiny guys to the next level, or from Adam to Pee-wee to Bantam, then to high school, you've done your job.
Yeah, we owe an incredible debt to our grassroots coaches, because, you know, winning at that level really isn't that important. Football is a late developing sport, but it's the tools that these coaches are filling our kids' toolboxes with is really what goes the longest distance and makes them great in the long term. So we can't lose sight of, you know, these kids don't need to be great as 11-year-olds. They need to be great as 18, 19-year-olds, and we're just part of the process when we get them at that young age.
Brian Giebert, Saskatoon Minor Football, and the Growing the Game podcast with Baldy. Thanks for this, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.